You are now listening to Tea Time with Cake and the Monastat.
Good evening, world. Welcome back to Tea Time with Cake and Moni. Hi, Cake.
Hi, Monastat.
Guess what? We are number one. Our podcast is number one in the LGBT section of Podomatic.
Yay, I'm glad you guys are enjoying it and listening to it. And like I said on our first podcast, I hope you're getting something out of it.
Can we just give ourselves a round of applause? Everybody give yourselves a round of applause.
Yay!
I want to thank our awesome producer, and I want to thank my awesome co-hostess, Miss Cake Moss. I just got back from San Francisco. We have so much to cover at this podcast.
Yes,
but first of all, I want to introduce our special guest star. We have one of our good friends, my good friend and your good friend, and hopefully everybody's good friend in the future, Mr. Skylar. Say hi, Skylar.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Super, thanks for asking.
Hi, Skylar.
Hello.
I'm glad you could join us. Thank you for joining us on such a happy and momentous occasion.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Oh my God, thank you. Thank you for coming. So we have a lot to cover today, like I said. So it's Oscar weekend in Los Angeles, and you know, I was coming in last night, and it's been hell traffic.
It's a mess.
Everywhere in LA.
It's every year.
It's not even like cute LA traffic, it's beyond cute LA traffic. And you know, the Oscars is actually a time to celebrate in Hollywood. It's a celebration of film, and the Academy gives out all their awards to a bunch of people. That are actually kind of fabulous, you know, red carpet and gowns and things and hair.
That's kind of all it is now. Like, a lot of the
red carpet.
The Oscars don't really care about like the categories and all the acting. Like, they don't really understand it. And now it's just like, oh my God, what is she wearing?
Well, since it's Black History Month still, I wanna give props to the first Oscar African American award. African American award winner of the Oscar, Miss Hattie McDaniel, for the most racist film in the world, Gone with the Wind. And then Halle Berry, I think, was the last one who won. Oh, no, it was the girl from The Help, Olivia something.
Yeah, she's the star of How to Get Away with Murder right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we have a lot. What are some things you think about the Oscars? I mean, you know, the LGBT community is a big thing in Hollywood. Some are closeted.
Yeah.
Some are not so closeted.
Yeah.
You know, Dustin Lance Black was a friend of mine, won for Milk a couple of years ago, and he was a very big gay out writer. There has other homosexuals, and Jodie Foster just came out. She won Best Actress. What are your views?
What's the girl that is Nightcrawler? And Gina?
Ellen Page.
Yes, Ellen Page.
Ellen Page,
you're a guest.
I met Ellen Page at the Golden Globes.
She is a breath of fresh air.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
actually,
she's a
really
very,
fabulous.
Very good actor.
She was so sweet.
Same with Jane Lynch.
Is Jane Lynch nominated this year for something? I don't think so.
Not at the Oscars, no, because she doesn't have any films, but she was at the Emmys.
Did you see the insane statue of the guy, of the Oscar statue, snorting cocaine on Hollywood and La Brea?
It's just turned into something crazy. Like, the Oscars has turned into something crazy. And like I said before, it's like really not that much about acting anymore. At the end of the day, it is. But now, yeah, it's like, oh my God, what's she wearing? Who's here? How famous is this person? What is this person wearing on the red carpet? And it's like, then it's like, people stop watching the Oscars like halfway through because they don't understand. Like as an actor, I kind of have to watch the Oscars. I got to vote. I get to vote every year. I got to vote on all these wonderful movies like Birdman and The Theory of Everything and Boyhood. Mm-hmm. And friggin', what else is over there? Mm-hmm. The Judge, like all the screeners I've got, I had a ballot, check, what do I vote, best actor, supporting actor, plot lines, all these things to vote for them, and that's what it's about, like who actually did the best performance, but a lot of the public doesn't see it like that, they
mm-hmm.
see like, oh, blah, blah, but then something we should talk about is in 1992, when there was protesting, anti-gay protesters outside of the Oscars because of Silence of the Lambs. There's that creepy character in Silence of the Lambs.
She puts lotion in the basket, that character.
Yeah.
Or no, she puts
lotion on his skin or else
he gets the hose again. Well, I think, you know, Buffalo Bill was one of those crazy characters, but there's a long, long history of in more recent times, of great queer and gay themed films. Like Milk is a huge film that, you know, was about Harvey Milk from San Francisco.
That film is fantastic.
Actually, I am in the throes of watching The Imitation Game right now. Actually, you can see it on the table.
It's so good.
It's about
the guy that invented computers.
Yeah, and he's gay.
Yep.
Alan Turing is gay. So it's kind of fun to watch. I wish there would be more presence of trans films. I know Boys Don't Cry when Hilary Swank won for Best Actress as Brandon Tina. That was one of those insanely compelling moments. You know, it's I think it broke kind of a glass wall. I think there should be more of a trans presence in mainstream film.
Yeah.
But is America really ready to accept that? What do you think, Tyler?
I mean, I see outcoming trans activists and actors now, like, Orange is the New Black.
Laverne Cox.
Yeah, Laverne Cox. I met her at Trans Pride last year, and I don't know why I couldn't remember her name. The very, very educated, very predominant, independent actors and activists should be more present. I think, you know, it's 2015. I think that it's time for people to realize that living your life shouldn't be an issue these days. I mean, it's just what one person does. Everybody gets judgment. I mean, I personally would love to see more trans men characters played by trans men, trans women characters played by trans women. You know, I with the whole thing, I'm a Glee watcher, and
that last episode was very good.
The last episode, a lot of my friends who I met through Trans Pride actually partook in the choir.
Like 200 people.
It was 200
trans.
It's three.
Oh, 300 transgender individuals.
Yeah.
And that was a very, very
it's moving,
heartfelt moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's very moving.
It's about
it's
unity.
It's moments like that that kind of shatter the glass wall.
It is.
You know, speaking of living your life to its fullest, tell us a little bit more about you, Skylar. I mean, for our studio viewers here, Skylar is a special guest. He is out and proud trans gentleman.
Yes.
He's a big part of my life, as well as Cake Moss's.
Yes, go ahead.
He's a big part of the community, and I think it's only fair that we should definitely acknowledge, not because a lot of the time
all
it's always
of,
about
yeah.
trans women. You know, we never really acknowledge the trans gentlemen.
Right.
So tell us a little bit more about you, what you're about, and your lifestyle, and, you know, who you're dating and all that. I mean, I know it sounds really intrusive, but this is our podcast.
It's all
tea time. If there's anything I like to be, it's very intrusive and very obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead.
You
tell
know,
us
I'm
more
book.
About you, Mr. Skylar.
She does.
I am a 25-year-old trans FTM, which is female-to-male transgender individual. I was a Midwest native, born in Illinois, raised in Indiana, very white Republican towns. Didn't really, you know, didn't really grasp the concept growing up. Didn't even know what transgender meant, actually. I moved out to California in 2011. And, you know, coming from kind of a back of the woods area, not that far from Chicago. I was, you know, city life and everything, but coming to LA and seeing the cultural acceptance and the difference and the freedom of expression to be who you are was a big kind of like, it was a shock for me, and it was a positive shock. You know, I'm used to back home, you know, I was very do what you're told and be this way, you know, and being on my own and independent out in California on the West Coast, you know, trying to get used to this lifestyle out here, it's great. It's great to be able to be an individual and be unique. You know, one of my important things that I do is I go to a few transgender groups within the LA area.
Okay, because that was my next question. Do you have a huge support network out here in California? But you guys have groups. You guys can talk about what you're going through and your process and all that in life. Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's a particular group that I go to, called Transgender Perceptions, and it's out in LA. It's at the Village, which is a Golding building off McCaden, and it's on Friday nights, and it's a mixture of trans women and trans men and genderqueer individuals who don't really identify or are people who are non-gender. They don't really
non-gender
identify.
Non-gender
specific, correct. Androgynous individuals. Like, it's a mixture, and it's really nice to see a group of people that can come together, you know, and kind of be able to pick and choose as family. You know, I've been going there for about almost 2 years now, and it's amazing to see the educational aspects from everybody who speak there and just listen to everybody's stories, and it's really heartfelt. And, it's amazing. It's a great support system.
It's like AA for transgender.
Right.
People.
It's like, yeah.
So
it's like,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, like, the support, no,
it's not therapy. Tell your
story.
Right. It's not therapy. We talk about, you know, what's going on, what's prevalent in the news and the media. Mm-hmm. The past couple weeks, it's been about Bruce Jenner and what's going on with that. And
Agnes.
We
touched a little bit about Bruce Jenner in our last couple of podcasts.
We did.
Right. You know, the thing is, you know, Bruce Jenner is in whatever, for what it's worth, is in a relationship. What is your dating lifestyle like? What is your dating life like? I want to hear more about that.
Of course. Well, I myself, you know, before I started hormones and everything, I was like strictly women. Mm-hmm. Like I identified as a straight man. Well, before I even became like thought of, clicked it together that I'm transgender. Yes, uh-huh. I was a lesbian.
Right.
You know, go through the motions. Even before that, bisexual, then a lesbian. Then I'm like, I'm a trans man. Now being on hormones, my mind is like more accepting. As a trans individual, it seems like the judgment kind of like clears away from your mind. You're more open.
Mm-hmm.
and your perceptions of who you would like to be with. And I identify as pansexual.
I've always believed in the gray area more than, you know, just having one like stagnant kind of, if you're gay, straight, bi, queer, whatever. I've always believed in the gray area of things. I think a lot of the people who I hang around with the most, like our producer, she's in the gray area too. You know, she's not specifically straight. You know, she's not specifically gay. She's just likes what she likes. And
right.
that's
pansexual.
She's pansexual.
Right.
Tell us what it means to be pansexual, Skylar.
In my, the easiest terms I can say is it's about hearts, not the parts. It's about the personality.
That is a great thing.
Yes, it's about the hearts, not the parts. It's about the personality and how well you connect, the connection you have with somebody and an emotional level, not just an intimate what's between the legs level. You know, it's not just about brass tacks and let's get down to sex.
Are you dating somebody now?
Yes, I am. A beautiful woman by the name of Erica.
Okay. I met her. She's beautiful.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
I was really drunk that night.
Yeah.
Me too.
You were.
I met somebody. Never mind.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous woman who, you know, identifies as a lesbian, but is more open, again, to the idea of just me as an individual, not looking at me as just a trans man.
And that's a beautiful thing, just to see as an individual and not really just see, you know, take somebody for face value for who they are on the outside, you know, and just to celebrate the individual rather than celebrating how I can get you off.
That's what I mean.
Getting off is tertiary to it because, you know, in the long run, if you like somebody, you like somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't matter who or what they are. If you like them, you really fall in love with them. Oh, wow, Skylar, that was some amazing, amazing things. So now, I know you're making your way around a lot of different kind of scenarios with, like, TV and talking about trans issues and all that. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and what you've been doing to get awareness out there?
Well, I mean, I was actually part of a co-facilitator with my ex. Her name is Chelsea, and we were facilitating a transgender male group called Guys Chat, and it was in Plummer Park in West Hollywood, and it was once a month, and we would come in, and it was for couples and like family members. And the first hour, it was everybody all together. Yeah,
how do I not know this, bitch? I'm with you all the time. How do I not know this?
Because I got a secret life too.
You told me about it.
Right. It was more of a test for me to see if I can handle, because in the future I want to do gender studies and start up my own Big Brother, Big Sister program for
that's a good goal.
Genius.
Especially for at-risk, teen trans youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those who are kicked out on the streets, mm-hmm. suicide risk. You know, it's a big staple that now each day more and more teens are resorting to suicide rather than finding a big support system and role model. And that's mm-hmm. what I want to have my compassion be put into work and not really call it work, but, you know, love everything that I do every day as a job.
Mm.
So that's what Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I think that's pretty freaking rad. I think you're doing some amazing and incredibly compelling things with what time you have. I wish I had that kind of time now, like, to do more outreach with trans people. I mean, it takes a lot of a personal insight to know that you're trans. It takes a lot of soul searching, and it's courage, and it's deep courage. I want to give you a round of applause.
Thank you.
For your courage and your knowledge of who you are, and what you're doing is basically creating a safe haven for those who may not have it like as great as you did. And I don't want to assume things that you had it as great, but now you're striving to make things better.
Right.
Learning, and that's the most positive thing.
Right. Learning who I am, becoming who I truly was meant to be,
exactly.
And who I truly am,
exactly.
is very self-fulfilling, and it makes me self-sufficient and
that's
wants
great.
To go out
I'm
and help
so
people.
Proud of
yeah.
you, bitch.
Thank you.
It takes something like a moving across the country to get to
right.
fall into that.
So, you know, you touched upon growing up in the Midwest. What was that like, growing up in the Midwest and being trans?
Okay, well, I specifically grew up in Northwest Indiana, between that and on the border of Indiana, Illinois. So I wasn't that far away from Chicago, which had a, you know, a gay area, Boys Town.
Boys Town.
Yep. It was very hard to even, like I said, place a term for how I felt growing up as a teenager, but even, you know, like Cake said, when you grow up in the Midwest, it's always you have to do something, you have to abide by somebody's ways. And
mm-hmm.
I have very young parents. I'm 25. My parents are 44 and 41.
Nice.
Wait, you're 25?
Yes.
Oh,
I'll be 26 in August.
Oh my God.
Yeah, baby, right? But my.
I'm 5,000 years old.
You're timeless.
Ancient age.
I'm ancient.
It's very beautiful thing, though. I mean, my family and I were kind of close. We went through, you know, a rough patch growing up in Indiana. When I realized that something was different with me, you know, I kind of had to keep it to myself. I wasn't able to really speak out. I didn't really have any sources to go to. You know, even when I was in high school, you know, I identified as, you know, I was the first out kid as a lesbian in high school. You know,
oh,
I had
that's
a,
really rad.
I was
yeah.
the first gay boy
right.
in high school to come out, and it was I got expelled for being homosexual, basically, which is
right.
obnoxiously ridiculous. But
I had some I had some pretty harsh stuff happen to me. I'm not gonna go into detail. It's just a lot of bullies that don't understand individuality, but
they understand. They just hate that
they
you
just,
understand.
Right. But you know, even back then, even when I was going through like my lesbian moment, you know, I installed education in the school, and I started GSA, and from there, it's still going to this day, I hope. I graduated in 07, so I'm not sure by now.
For those who don't know, I'm sorry to interject, but for those who don't know what GSA is, can you tell us what GSA is?
Of course. It's a group that is known as a Gay Straight Alliance.
So okay.
Like Unity, you know,
okay.
between
really
hetero
cool.
and homos.
So you started that in your high school in your hometown.
Right,
that's
right.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there was 2,500 students in there, and
in GSA or
no, in my
school.
In my
oh,
school,
okay.
Like I had like I think about 180 signatures my senior year.
Oh
I started
wow!
At my senior
so you really
year.
Brought some serious awareness
right.
about what it means to be queer to your high school at such a young age. Wow! Now, did you get that kind of awareness from inside of you? Did you grow up like where was your parents like okay with all that? I mean, how like did you see it in the media? Like, what kind of things would that in your mind would be like, hey, I want to start a GSA? Like, how did that come to your fruition? Like, how did you like, oh cool, let's do this? I mean, you knew you were a lesbian
right
at that time, but how do you like kind of like, oh, I want to do that?
Put two and two together.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was, you know, I was only out when I had a bunch of friends who were like in like kind of scared to say anything, you know, and be open about themselves. But I kind of just went to my counselor back in high school, and I was like, what can I do to make it better for me and my friends and make it a safe place?
Oh,
and
wow.
Even my counselor to this day, we still talk.
That's real cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
So, and
did your parents have issues with you growing up? As I mean
yes,
as a, so they had major issues with you as a lesbian, and
yes,
then when you transitioned,
Oh, yeah. My parents didn't really like the idea that I was, you know, dating women back in, well, girls, women, whatever, back in Indiana. And then after I moved, you know, my parents and my father and I particularly didn't talk. And when I told them that I was transitioning, I had every word in the book thrown at me. You okay. know, I was told I was a demon spawn and I was not their child. And
I'm a demon
that
spawn.
I could die.
The power of Christ compels you.
There was, I mean, also there was family issues going on, loss of some family members. So there was a lot of depressive
stuff.
So you got
a lot of backlash.
Yeah, a lot of backlash. But now, I went home in 2013 for my friend's funeral. And when I got back home, I called my father after not speaking to him for nearly 10 months and told him, you know you don't understand it, you don't agree with it, but I love you, you're a reason that I'm here. Uh-huh. And since then, we've
so
been mending our relationship.
Like, you've amended that whole thing.
Right.
Well, I think it's always better to keep your side of the street clean, because in the long run, at the end of the day, you're going to be like, well, I still love you, you're still my dad.
Right.
Even though you hate me and call me a demon spawn and 10,000 other million names.
Yeah, right.
I applaud you, because that's real courage right there. To be able to say to somebody who completely hates you and completely wants nothing to do with you, hey, you're still my father, I don't care, I still love you. That's serious
right.
courage. Like, wow,
thank
that's
you.
Insane.
Thank you.
Demon spawn.
Thank you, that I am. I mean, they're accepting of the fact that I'm happy. You know, they don't necessarily agree with it. They're, my family still calls me by my birth name, so
okay.
calls me their daughter. But it's something that, you know, a transition is something that not just you as the individual going through it has to do alone. Everybody around you has to really take understanding that, you know, you have to take understanding that the people around you either are going to get used to it and respect you or not. So, you know, everybody has their boundaries. So that's my little
that's great.
That's
well
me.
Now you have a support system here
yeah.
in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You moved out west to beautiful sunny California.
Oh yes.
To beautiful sunny Hollywood, and you're now making strides
mm-hmm.
to become the person you need to be.
Yes.
You know, the person
guy.
You are, the person you truly are is here. And you know, whether or not you came from somewhere or whatever, what kind of background you have, I think it's great that you, like, a lot of things you've said today in the podcast is probably going to help somebody else. And that's the main thing,
yeah.
that's the most important thing I think we can take from this podcast today, is that everything you've said, everything you've gone through, no matter how hard it was, is now going to help somebody else, somebody who's listening out there. And just, you know, just know that there's people like you or Amaya or me or Kate who are always going to be there and be in support, you know?
Right.
And that's the most important thing, because we are a community, as much as, like, we tend to fight like brothers and sisters sometimes. You know, we are a community, and we do have to help each other. We only have each other.
Right.
You know, like, and I applaud you for, like, having the courage to forgive your family and your father, because that's pretty heavy. Like, for them to, like, just kind of throw you away and not even acknowledge the fact that you are now Skylar,
right?
You know, but for you to turn around and say, hey, I still love you, you're still my dad, that's a pretty huge thing. Not a lot of people can do that.
Right.
It takes balls.
It takes that and some courage and, you know, my big...
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, that's really genius. That's the best thing I've heard today. Thank you for sharing that story. Thank you for sharing who you are with us today. Thank you for sharing your story with Tea Time with
and
Kate
America.
And America.
Thanks for
Thank
America.
You guys.
So yeah, I mean, hot topics. What more do you guys want to talk about? Let's
the other
like,
topics we could talk about. I think that we were going to talk about were the
other terminology.
Yeah, the terminologies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's,
terminology. The transgender, transvestite.
So now we have a full panel here. We have a full panel: a trans woman, a trans man, one ogre, and a beautiful lady.
Yeah. How does it feel to be an ogre?
How does it feel to be an ogre? Let's talk about different terminologies, because, you know, for me, everybody gets caught up in the semantics
yeah.
and of things. And
very much
labeling
so.
This and that and this and that. And it's a whole big deal, like the fighting and, like, whatever. I know we've touched upon this in the last two podcasts, but now that we have a full panel here from all the perspectives that
yes.
we kind of need, you know, I'd like to hear some of your takes on it. Like, what is offensive? What is not offensive? What is okay to say? What is not okay to say? Like, can I still use the term tranny, even though I still will use it? You know, is
let's talk about that. Let's start with you, Stella, since you're a special guest.
Okay.
Like, you know, terms and terminology, queer, trans, bi, drag, you know, like, as a drag queen, I say the term tranny a lot. It doesn't
right.
mean I'm using it as a derogatory term. It doesn't mean I'm degrading a transgender individual. It doesn't mean I look down on a transgender individual. In fact, a lot of my transgender friends say tranny all the time
right.
to me, to each other. So what is your take on all that? You know, it's a big hot topic. It's been a big topic for the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to get your take on that.
In my opinion, personally, the word tranny doesn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, from going to the groups that I was speaking about earlier, you know, some of the women, the older trans women were saying that, you know, they coined that term back in the day as a sign of, you know, respect for one another. It was like their own token word.
It's a code. Like,
it's like a code, yeah.
It's a code.
You know, I mean, so I don't see any degradation of that word
uh-huh.
used in, you know, within the community. And now it's just the tone of how somebody says it outside
right.
of like the LGBT
right.
community.
Well, a lot of people say that, you know, it's people use it as a slur.
Right.
You know, I like, do you think it could be a slur? Do you think it could not be a slur?
I think it's been turned into a slur by guys in the DL.
You know, it's more than that. Would I say it as an offensive thing? You know, I would never just cuss somebody out and then say tranny, because it's ridiculous. It's not even, you know, you're just stating a fact. You are transsexual. You are transgender.
Right.
You know, I'm just stating a fact. Now, if you really want to go in, let me cuss you out. I will go in and talk about how busted your mug is and how your boobs are deformed and how much of a brick you look like. But, you know, that's you and your hormones, Miss Thing.
Well,
we won't go into that. That's
became,
a slur to me.
I think it became such a heated topic only because Carmen got bored and wanted something to talk about. And it's like, girl, she was on Drag Race. And she didn't have a problem when she was on Drag Race when it was like, ooh, girl, you got shemale. She was like, yay, I'm still here.
Well, I really don't think it was Carmen Carrera. It was
no,
Parker Malloy. It was Parker Malloy, who was a writer for The Advocate, who basically started slamming RuPaul and her use of the word shemale
really?
In the episodes. Parker Malloy is kind of this...
I thought it was Carmen.
She's a white transgender blogger based out of the Midwest, and now
yeah.
she's been fired from everything because she pissed everybody off. Now
yeah.
she started this whole attack on RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race about the term shemale. I agree with her to a certain extent. Shemale is a little bit towing the line.
Well, the reason why she started that is because one of the challenges.
Well,
one
yeah,
the
there was also
that's
the,
why.
It was also a challenge thing.
Yeah,
but
he
it was a whole
she-male.
A he-male or she-male,
yeah.
And I think that was a little offensive. I would see why that would be taking, you know, that would be taking
yeah,
offense
was,
to that.
It was borderline.
But then, you know, and then like you said earlier, another former RuPaul's Drag Race contestant had actually taken it a little further, and it kind of snowballed into
yeah,
this whole discussion.
It did.
Countrywide. Like, if you really, really are passionate and extremely passionate about the issues that you are passionate about, especially about being transgender, there are many outlets for you to express that. You can do like what you do,
right,
Skylar. You go out and do Big Brother, you know, Little Brother sort of things. You do outreach with your community. You do things with a transgender law center. You know, you pass out condoms to the girls who are out on the street late at night working for their coin.
Right.
Those are things you can do to better your community. You know what I'm saying? So this whole infighting about like semantics and terms and stuff like that, I think it's all crap. You know, a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but those are just my opinions. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to really offend anybody by saying those things. That's just how I am.
I think I get offended if someone calls me a crossdresser or a transvestite.
Yeah, see,
well,
that's
well,
what I
not.
Wanted to ask you. Is like if someone calls you like
as opposed
not
to
a tranny.
A tranny.
Yeah,
yeah,
if someone, because people call me a tranny all the time, and I'm just like, I'm not transgender. They're like,
right.
Well, then what are you? Are you a crossdresser? I'm like, so much simple-mindedness, and it's
right.
just all you really need to do is just open your eyes and ears and just open a book or just go online and Google it, like
I'm a cross-dresser.
I was gonna touch on that too, because we spoke on that in our last podcast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. you would never have sex with your boyfriend in drag.
Never.
As opposed to you, Monty, who
doesn't
mind
that.
Playing
around. I don't mind playing around in drag.
So,
and you have a beautiful woman.
So does that cross the line between being a cross dresser and a drag queen? Like when
I think slightly.
For the listeners listening in, that is the voice of our producer, Amaya, talking to us, and you know, it's great to have her voice because we barely hear her on the podcast, so
it's
good to have her.
It's nice to have the input.
It's nice to have the input every now and then. Yes, Cake does not have sex in drag. I sometimes like to have sex in drag.
That's why I only identify as a drag queen, because to me, it's like, it's my work, and then once it turns into that, then it becomes something else.
But you know, the thing is, I'm in the gray area. I think I'm androgynous enough when I shave and do all that and like not look like a total dude that I can pass for a lady. And I often do pass for a lady.
Yeah.
I have no problem with being a cross-dresser. I have no problem with being a transvestite.
But what is the terminology? What does that mean to be a cross-dresser or a transvestite?
I think, okay, so a transvestite...
It's explained in Tulin Fu.
A transvestite is somebody who... dresses as a woman, not necessarily, I'm sorry, somebody who dresses in the opposite gender, not necessarily feeling anything sexual out of it. It's cross-dressing is the same thing.
Person,
you know,
lives-
some people who cross-dress are transvestites, some people transvestites are cross-dress.
It's a person who sometimes wears clothes traditionally worn by associated with the opposite sex, typically a male who cross-dresses occasionally by habit or compulsion.
But
so it's not a sexual thing.
It's not
a
sexual
a
thing. I'm a big hoe, and I just love...
I love how this says all these things. Transvestite should not be confused with transgender or transsexual, which is a person who lives as a member of a sex different
right.
from their birth sex. And then it says this term should also not be confused with the drag queen, who is a male who wears women's clothing
for
public
performance. Yes! But, like, I like to be...
Cross-dresser, tranny... TV, transvestite.
I like to be all of, like I said, I'm always in the gray area of things. I never just bind myself to one thing. I'm a performer. I cross dress.
Exactly.
I can do whatever the hell I want. Who's gonna judge me?
Everyone.
You know?
But it doesn't matter.
But my clothes are flawless and my hair is fierce and
Boom.
My dog is right.
Boom!
So if you're gonna come, like, come, bitch, let's go!
That's it. That's what I'm looking for.
I don't know. Amaya, what's your take on this whole thing since you're here? You wanna have a...
Like I said, I don't have a problem with tranny or shemale. Being in the industry myself, shemale, for me, I mean, that's what we use in porn to describe our fetish.
Shemale porn, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I understand that. That really doesn't bother me, especially it's used in the context. Like with RuPaul... It was harmless. It was like,
yeah,
because
it wasn't
cute...
even spelled male. It was M-A-I-L.
Right,
like, girl,
a
and there's there's an envelope flying in like,
which
girl,
is a
rip male.
Off of Tyra Male from, you know,
exactly.
Tyra's ANTM.
Yeah.
But it was a cute play on words. I liked it.
Yeah,
I thought it was
someone
cool.
Got butthurt.
It was good for the show.
Yeah.
But the whole tranny thing, unless you're calling it, like you said in the last podcast, it's situational.
Yeah.
If you're using it as like a slur, from the straight community, yeah, it can be offensive.
Yeah.
It'll hurt. But personally, I don't let it get to me. You can only give the word power
right.
and let it bother you.
Right.
So.
I own the word faggot. Like, I don't let that kind of stuff bother me
exactly.
at all.
That
like,
used to give
me
life.
I will get bothered if you are wearing something ugly. I will
yeah.
get very bothered.
I get bothered when someone gross is like, and I'm just like, Like, what?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah. Skylar, what do you think about this whole thing?
I am just, you know, words are words. Like Amaya said, words are just words, so you give them power, and I totally agree
yeah,
with that.
There's somewhere saying, you guys all say the same thing. Oh, words
you know
have
what?
Power. Rah, rah, rah.
Like, I get confused for a bull dyke. You know, a lot of people thought I was a bull dyke, like a super masculine lady with a beard. And I was like,
really?
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, my goatee is rocking in every...
Skylar
like,
has more
flannel.
Facial hair than I do. Right?
And
yes.
he...
Yeah.
Kind of, like,
combined.
Crazy.
Combined.
He's
a fuzzy wumpkin.
I particularly don't care what people say because everybody has a judgment about something. Everybody's complaining about something.
Right.
And it's like Kate said earlier, and I think actually everybody has said it earlier, it's just a reflection on something that's going on with them, so they portray it on somebody else. It's
yep, because that person might be in their head like, oh my God, this person I know used to be this gender, but is now this gender, and I feel the same way, but I don't know how to express it or become it, so you.
Right.
I don't like you. It automatically turns into envy and jealousy, mm-hmm. which turns into hatred, and it's just like, I'm gonna punch everyone in the face.
There's actually a lot of animosity between even trans men. You know, there's...
Is that really?
Oh, yeah. Some trans men who don't see that
their
hormones as necessary. And then there's trans men like myself who, like... Well, you know, most of us trans men like to, like, bind, hide our chest, and,
right.
like, and pack. I used to be like that. I hurt my ribs by binding for
it's like
long.
A dry king thing.
Right.
But it's like every day.
Yeah, but it's every day. Like, I used to bind. I didn't know I didn't know how to do it. Didn't know. And I messed up my back. And so I have, like, I had triple D chest that was a size triple D when I started.
Wow.
I went down one size. I don't bind. I look like a big guy with man boobs. And I'm fine with that. Like, they're going to come off eventually.
Right.
But, like, it's a pain in the ass. And then there's other guys that will be like, oh, well, you're not a real trans guy. You're not, you know, you're not a real guy because you don't bind and you don't pack and you don't do this and you don't go to the gym. And I'm like, screw off. Like, I'm myself. I like to cook and clean and bake cookies. I don't like to. Right. I'm not your typical guy. I don't believe in that putting yourself in a box. Because society says you have to act one way if you want to be a man.
That's
or you have to act one way.
You hear that? You hear that, Tea Time? There's even bullying amongst each individual group inside of our community.
What you're touching on, Skylar, is important because it's also prevalent in the trans community
mm-hmm.
with the girls. Like,
oh,
like
my gosh,
you're not a real woman if you don't have hips.
You're not
a real woman if you don't have extensions.
Oh, my God.
Or, you know.
It's like that with drag queens, too. You're not a real drag queen unless you have this, or unless you have a lace front, or unless you use this, or unless you do this.
Unless
you're padded in the house.
Like Monty.
Right.
Yeah, or if you're padded.
Kick Moss is not a real drag queen.
Padded like Morgan. She's not a real drag queen. I'm a real woman.
I'm a
with them thighs.
Cake Moss is not a real drag queen. She's a real woman.
Yeah.
She's feeling all of her goats.
Bye.
Yeah. Happy Chinese New Year. It's the year of
Let
the goats.
Let me feel my goats.
This is the year of the goats. The year of
Beautiful.
The goats.
I can't with you.
I mean, this is one of our best podcasts, and we've only been three. Wow, this has been one of my favorite ones. We have so much to cover. We have a lot of things to talk about.
It's cute. I always look forward to listening to these on Monday, even though I'm sitting here with you doing it. I always look forward to Monday because I'm just like, oh my God, yes, I like sit there and like do my meal prep stuff and I'm like cleaning my house with my headphones and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I'm like, oh my God, we did talk about that. That's right. And it's like at the end, like I'm like sitting there with a little tear. I'm like,
Kick Moss is getting emotional as I am, have no emotions because I'm a robot.
Yes, she is. My name is Lamanis, Dad. I am gigged.
Actually, I'm not gigged for the next 2 weeks as by my choice. I'm actually choosing to take off time from work.
Because she's too gigged.
To deal with my, what things I have to deal with.
Her over-gigness.
My over-gigness, as you say. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank our special guest star, Skylar.
Yay!
I want to thank our producer, Amaya.
Yay!
Amaya. And I want to thank you, you stupid whore.
And I want to thank you, you stupider whore.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Tea Time with Cake and Monty. You guys were awesome. Keep us in the number one
spot
on Podomatic. And you know, we'll be on iTunes soon enough.
Yes, and don't forget to check out Code Anonymous. Stay high, stay right, good job, Lord.
I'm so thankful, and I'm so grateful, and I hate to say it, but I am blessed to get to have such an awesome cast working with me.
Hashtag blessed. We host finest in San Francisco's finest come together to create magic.
I don't know, but I'm gonna go eat now. I don't know about all that, but I don't know about San Francisco's finest. I would say San Francisco's horrest.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time for Tea Time with Cake and Monty. Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, this is Skylar, Caden Avery. You can find me on Instagram at skysky_transboy. That's SKYSKY_TRANSBOI. Or on Facebook at Skylar Caden Avery.
I don't know. And I can't change.